for children. There are women in this room who never have given birth, but they certainly have loved, and they certainly have mothered. And I want to acknowledge that. Some of them have loved for a month or two, for a week or two, or just for an hour or two while you were up in a sanctuary. But they mothered. And so it is something, it is a nourishing quality that God has put into the bosom of women. And He chooses how He'll use it. So some of you were given children that you gave birth to. Others of you were given children that along the way you've encouraged. And they look back and call you blessed. So I want to make that caveat. So I don't want you to feel alone if you haven't given birth to a child. If you're a woman, I know that you have at some time used your nurturing gift. Also, if you're a mother, have given birth to children, I know that you've comforted others' children. And your heart has been enlarged by the experience. God comforts us as a mother, believe it or not. In Isaiah 66:13, it says, as a mother comforts her child. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. I remember when I was sick as a little boy. One of my fondest memories is when my mother would bring me the green bowl with the chicken noodle soup and the toast. And she would touch my forehead and, oh, it's hot. And she would bring a cold dish rag or a cold washcloth. And you know, when you're weak and you're vulnerable and you're a kid, that memory, that gets seared in your memory. What that woman did when you were in pain, it stays with you. There is a comforting quality that a mother has. That's why God says, as a mother comforts. Because he knows that he put that in women to comfort in ways that we men don't really know how to do. Now, I know that there are some objections in the audience. Maybe you had a mother that didn't do that, or you didn't have a mother present. And so then you're going to have to find a mother in the Lord. He said, I'll be a mother to the motherless. I'll be a father to the fatherless. I'll be a husband to the husbandless. I'll be a wife to the wifeless. He will offer you his comfort. In fact, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, so that even when we experience the comfort of a mother, and I know some of you are sitting here right now missing your mother because she's gone on to glory, but when we received or have received the comfort of a mother, it came from someplace. The scripture here says, He is the God of all comfort. That is, He's the source of all comfort. He's where it comes from. He's the genesis of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. The life of the Christian is a troublesome life. Have you noticed? Wasn't it easier when you were just going to the party of the discotheque or the bar or wherever you went, the pool hall? And there was no conflict because you just had you and your little old sin nature. And you got along just fine, didn't you? No twinge of conscience. But then you up and were drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he granted you the gift of repentance. And he further granted you the gift of faith. And you trusted him. And he implanted in you a new nature. But he forgot on purpose to take away your sin nature. So now here you are with that new nature living, coexisting alongside of your sin nature. And there's a battle. There's a battle. So there's a trouble. There's a tension. It's a troublesome life. Here's what Paul said. He autobiographically describes his struggle in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 out to the end, verse 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. This is Paul speaking about himself. But guess what? He's speaking about you. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Does that ever happen to you? For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, whoops, that's what I do. You think I have a camera in your house, don't you? Verse 16, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. Now it sounds like the Apostle Paul, the vaunted Apostle Paul, is blame shifting, doesn't it? But let's hang with him here. Verse 18, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work, verse 21, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch how he separates himself. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, the saved I, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Today, I retitled the message after I gave the title to BJ, What Mothers Hear? Because you just heard the Apostle Paul twisted like a pretzel, didn't you? Describing perfectly your life. But you would be really mad at me if I said amen and we were done. Let's finish the story. We have to be careful what we hear, because that's not the last word. Jesus Christ bore all of our sins on the cross. He trudged up the Golgotha's mountain. They laid him on the cross beams. They nailed him to the beams. They erected the beam and slammed it into its post. And he hung there and died for our sins. You and I must bear the cross of our sin nature until life's last breath. He bared a cross containing our sins. We're bearing a cross that contains our sin nature. And when we breathe life's last breath, we're finally free and we can say with Jesus, it is finished. Now, why did he leave us like this? We don't know. Yesterday in the women's Bible study, it said, we looked at Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things of God belong to Him. There are things that belong to Him that are none of your business. But you certainly have a cross. And that's our cross. But that's not the final word. What does a mother hear? And by extension, what do all of us hear? Mark chapter 4. Let's look at it. Let's look at the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Mark 4, 24 and 5. Consider carefully what you hear. In other words, don't hear everything. If your knucklehead friend starts talking about something fleshly that you know is going to pull your mind in the wrong direction, get away from your knucklehead friend. Even if your knucklehead friend is you, slap yourself and jump the page. Be careful. Consider carefully what you hear. Because you are going to be led by what you hear. He continued with, the measure you use, it will be measured to you even more. That is, if you hear and obey God's word, what will come to you is greater wisdom, greater strength, and a better path to finish your moment on, to finish your day on, to finish your life on. So if you not just hear, but you put into practice what you hear, then He's going to give you a return on that. But if you hear the wrong things, then your ability to stand against sin will be diminished and you'll be weakened. So be careful what you hear. Let's hear something from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. We've looked at this before, but you know what? It's a good book. So I say, verse 16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. This book was not written by men. The Scriptures didn't come to us by private interpretation, the Scripture says in Peter, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote it down. It is the Word of the Spirit. So when it says walk by the Spirit, it means walk by the Word of the Spirit. Doesn't mean sit there and pray in tongues and wait until something happens. Walk by the written word of God, which is the word of His Spirit. And you will not gratify, the result will be the desires of the flesh. That's why I often say to you, when I'm in my right mind, which isn't every day, by the way, and the alarm goes off, sometimes I have the common sense to turn on a voice that will read the Bible to me. I go to ligonier.org. You can go wherever you want to go. And today's reading begins now. My feet are still in the bed. But my mind immediately wants to race to where my sin nature wants it to go. And to get out ahead of that, I need to walk in the Spirit. So I am ingesting on purpose, making the decision to intake the Spirit, His Word, the Word of the Spirit, so that I will not allow those sinful thoughts to come to fruition, to build a nest in my mind and pull my day in a direction that I would rather not go. For the flesh, verse 17, desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The flesh is in an attitude of obstinance against the Spirit, and the Spirit is in an attitude of obstinance to the flesh. There's a conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That is the law of the flesh. So the believer, hear this. The believer decides who wins. I told you the story once, and I only tell it this one time, and then we'll be done with it. I told you that once I was in a football game. You probably don't remember this story, but some of you do. And all day long, the guy on the other side of the line of scrimmage was about as strong as I was. And we banged heads all day long, and nobody won. I mean, it was like, are you kidding me? No matter what I tried, no matter what he tried, it was the line of scrimmage stayed where it was. Nobody won. I didn't drive him back further, back on his heels. He didn't do the same. In this conflict, there is a way to determine a winner. And that is when you decide to turn on a voice reading the Bible, when you decide to open your word, when you decide to get up and crawl down to the kitchen table and have your quiet time, when you decide, you know what? I know, sin nature, you're there. You're not in charge. I'm a man, a woman of God, and here's how we're going to live today. Hear that. Every mother should hear that. And all of us eavesdropping this morning on Mother's Day should hear that. Again, just as Jesus carried our sins to the cross, we must bear the cross of our sin natures until life's last breath. But when free of this life, we'll stand in heaven with our Father, our Heavenly Father, finally free. Finally free. And knowing even as we're known. I am sorry to say the battle lasts, but the battle's not forever. And you win in the end. You'll stand there and you'll say, well, how can it be? I had this battle back and forth. How can I then traipse right into heaven? Because you will be standing at the end of life's journey, shrouded in the righteousness of Christ, not a righteousness that is your own, having striven all your life to attain practical righteousness. You will instead, however, gain entry into heaven because shrouded over you is the righteousness of Christ, which he gives us. And that's why we have it on the sign, so we'll read it on our highway sign. It's there for a reason. Romans 4:5. However, to the one who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. God, it says on the sign, justifies the ungodly. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's the game we're playing. It's not fair. It is not fair that God justifies the ungodly, but how else will it happen? It won't. Father, thank you that we are in a battle. We need to be careful what we hear. We don't like the fact that we're in this battle. We don't like the fact that we have to get up fighting every morning. However, the battle is not over. However, that's not the final word. That there's a skirmish is not remarkable. The outcome being certain is what we stake our claim to and what we hold on to. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before